copyrighted program created for the Rio Grande Oil Company.
Los Angeles Police calling all cars, attention all cars. Attention all Los Angeles County Sheriff's cars, broadcast 113, regarding a murder. A body found in Mint Canyon. Face mutilated with a shotgun. That's all. Rosenquist.
Kids. are the three chief protagonists in this drama of greed and violence. The warlord has spoken. The action has already begun in a lonely canyon in the foothills with passages. And now the curtains part on the first scene in the office of Captain William Bright, head of the homicide squad, Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office, as the telephone rings.
Homicide, George speaking.
Morrell picks up John Vittori of the Stella Street address.
At the morgue, Satori identifies the body as his brother-in-law, Louis Blanco. Then Satori leads the others to Blanco's rooming house on Yale Street. The Mexican landlady greets them at the door.
Ah, buenos dias, Senor Vittori. Have you help from that brother-in-law of yours who owes me so much back rent?
Yes, Mrs. Gonzalez. I've heard of him. He's been murdered.
Murdered?
This man is from the sheriff's office and wants to go to Louis' room.
Bueno. But who is going to pay his back rent? Are you, Senor Vittori?
You know I ain't got no money.
Mrs. Gonzalez, do you know whether Blanco had a gun?
A gun? Oh, no. He didn't have no gun.
Did he have an automobile?
An automobile? Where would he get the money for an automobile when he owed me 3 months' rent?
Are his things still in his room?
Oh, gee, but if they are, he doesn't have very much.
I'd like to take a look in there.
He's just down the hall here. He said when he went away that he was going to get a job in San Francisco. And now he comes back murdered.
Yeah, that's what he told me, too. That he was going to Frisco to get a job.
Here's his room.
Oh, that's pretty bare. No clothes.
Oh, no, he didn't have no clothes, only what he wore.
Some old magazine.
There are some letters in the drawer there.
Oh, that's what I'm looking for. A letter from Mrs. Rosita Tapoca, Globe, Arizona. You know who this is, Mr. Vittori?
I think he had a sister in Globe.
That's fine. Well, come along.
Where are we going now?
Down to headquarters. The captain wants to ask you some questions. Your making confidential investigations
to discover if Blanco is now in Globe. WBSC News, Sheriff Los Angeles County. Sheriff WBSC News, Los Angeles, California. Louis Blanco arrived here from Los Angeles April 10th. Now staying with sister, Salvar Burns, Sheriff, Globe, Arizona. Sheriff Salvar Burns, Globe, Arizona. Please search the Blanco and search the 12-gauge shotgun and blue automobile with black tops. Possible victim brought from there by car. C.W. Biscalou, Sheriff, Los Angeles County. Sheriff E.W. Biscalou, Los Angeles. Unable to check or find either automobile or shotgun. Holding Blanco in custody. Refuses to waive extradition. Awaiting instruction. Charles R. Burns, Sheriff, Globe, Arizona. Sheriff Charles R. Burns, Globe, Arizona. Deputy Sheriff Sepulveda and Morrell arrive Globe tomorrow to question Blanco. Many thanks for your cooperation. W. Biscalou, Sheriff, Los Angeles County. And that Bobby you saw in the morgue, you're satisfied that he's your brother-in-law, Louis Blanco?
Sure. That's him, as far as I can tell. He looks like his hands and looks like his clothes, too.
Mm-hmm. Then you sure it was him?
Sure.
Bring in your man, Will.
Yes, sir. Come on in.
You know this fellow, McCoy?
Louis.
Oh, hello, Louis. See ya. Glad to see you. Thought you was dead.
Are you not dead? In the street?
Yes. What were you scared about?
Somebody tried to get me. They got the wrong guy. They put my name in his pocket.
Yeah, that's what the officers and me are trying to find out about.
Did you write this identification card, Blanco?
No. I ain't never tried before.
Who do you think wrote it?
No, you were the story's son-in-law. Nobody knows he's Justin John's family. Nobody knows he's in my family.
Justin John's family.
That's right.
Did the story ever talk to you about an insurance policy?
Yes. He comes to me one day and asked me to take out his policy so he could get a job with the insurance company. He said he'd pay for it, so I said, okay, this is what it's helping.
That ain't so. Well, did you ever get the policy?
No.
And who was the beneficiary?
My wife.
How much was the policy for?
He said it's $1,000.
That ain't so. Well, do you think this boy's lying to play?
He's lying 100%.
Oh. What do you say to that, Blanco?
Oh, they've got to find out sooner or later.
Sure, the law binds up, and it binds up truth.
You know you made me sign that insurance application.
You're lying, Louis. Listen, Petroli. Your blue Essex was seen up there when we found that body.
Not mine.
Why, the man who saw the car drive down the road is identified it by the color, the top, and the sticker you've got on the windshield.
Not mine. I could swear and tear my heart out.
Well, whose blue Essex was it then?
Oh, I don't know anything about it, sir. Lots of blue Essexes.
And this identification card. What do you know about that?
Never saw it before the day this officer came up to the house.
Here's a piece of paper and pencil, Victoria. Now, write down what I tell you.
All right.
Louis Blanco. 1720 Yale Street. Los Angeles. You got that? Then write John Vittori.
Of touching the files of the Los Angeles Insurance Company.
and at last discovers the company which holds the policy on Blanco's life. The agent who handles the policy is contacted and brought in to Captain Bright for questions.
You insurance salesman, Mr. Walters?
Yes, I am.
You know Mr. Salvatore?
Yes.
How'd you happen to meet him?
Well, I contacted him first on a cold gamble.
What's that?
Well, that's what we call it when we get a prospect's name out of a phone book and approach him with no other lead than just his name and address.
I see. And did you sell Mr. Vittorio insurance on that call?
No, not on that call, but 2 months later I went to see him again, and that time he made out an application for a policy. But he turned down.
Why?
Well, help.
Was that the last you saw him?
Well, no. I gave him 2 or 3 application blanks and suggested that some other members of his family or his friends might want to be insured.
Uh-huh.
Well, a few days later, he came back with this application of Louis Blanco. I told him to be sure the name was clearly printed, and Blanco not only had printed his name at the top of the application, but also at the signature.
Well, the company rejected it, and
I gave it back to Vittorio and told him to have it signed. A few days later, he returned the application signed.
And who was the beneficiary?
The beneficiary was himself, John Vittorio.
But Blanco told us that maybe he was the beneficiary.
Yes, but as I remember, Vittorio explained he changed his mind because he didn't think his wife could collect the insurance. She was in the hospital at Patton.
I asked you to bring along the papers pertaining to his policy. Can you read the application there?
Yes. Here in my briefcase. Here it is. Here he signed Louis Blanco.
Mm-hmm. Well, have you got those record cards on Blanco and Vittorio?
Oh, yeah.
Here they are, sir. Hey. Well, this is Louis Blanco. You don't have to be an expert to see that the handwriting is not the same on this application and on Blanco's record card here.
That's right, isn't it?
And the date on this application is April 15th. When did Blanco say he left Los Angeles, sir?
April 10th.
We definitely placed him in Globe, Arizona on the 12th. I'd say the signature on the application is mighty close to the trailer we had out, isn't it, Merle?
Yes, sir.
How much was this policy for?
There were 2 units for $1,500 apiece.
So that's the price of the murder, huh? $3,000. Well, Mr. Walter, I think you've given us the evidence we need here to complete our case against John Vittori.
Well, I'm glad to be of assistance. We're just as eager to uncover this sort of knife like as you are. There's one more thing.
What's that?
Vittori took out another policy which named himself beneficiary.
He did? On who?
Just a minute, I have it here. There it is. I'm Mike Rufo, age 14. It's nephew.
Oh, Mike Rufo, huh? That's Blanco's stepson. His wife's boy by a former marriage.
Yeah.
Well, it looks as though Mr. Vittori planned to make a lot of dough on his family. However, I doubt if we can use that as evidence against him. It'd be hard to establish intent, even though Vittori had his nephew in line for the next killing.
In a few short days, the case of John Vittori is ready for prosecution and handed over to the office of district attorney, Duran Fitch, who characterized it as magnificently prepared. In December 1933, Vittorio was brought to trial in Department 26 of Superior Court before Judge Aguilar. The prosecution faces a argument that Vittorio murdered Jose Diego for $3,000 worth of insurance upon 3 circumstantial facts. The first, Vittorio's car was seen by a witness where the murder occurred. The second, Vittorio consistently misspelled the word Yale in the manner in which it was spelled on the identification card found on the body. The third, Vittorio forged applications for $3,000 worth of insurance upon the life of Louis Blanco and named himself his beneficiary.
The jury finds the defendant guilty of murder in the first degree.
And Judge Aguilar sentences Vittorio
to hang by the neck until death,
which sentence was carried out at San Quentin at dawn on December 6, 1935. Four boys and girls listen to Calling All Cars and to any other program heard over this station. And the Rio Grande Oil Company is glad to cooperate with local police authorities in crime prevention by impressing the youthful mind that crime does not pay. To further enlist boys and girls on the side of law and order, Rio Grande offers a complete junior detective outfit absolutely free of charge to its youngest. A police badge, handcuffs, pistol belt and holster, fingerprint outfit, and many other free gifts. Ask any independent dealer selling Rio Grande cracked gasoline for a free copy of the Calling All Cars News, which contains the story and pictures of the crimes occurred tonight, and tells how you may get your complete junior police outfit without charge. Rio Grande is proud to take the leadership in this junior police crime prevention movement. Remember, Rio Grande cracked gasoline today powers more police cars, fire engines, and emergency equipment than any other brand.
Calling all cars, attention all cars, attention all Los Angeles County Sheriff's cars. A cancellation of broadcast 113 regarding a murder in Mint Canyon. Suspecting this case now in custody. That's all. Roll the tape. Emergency cars use, it responds to the desperate demand and races forward out of danger.